Good day, church. Thank you for inviting us onto your screen and into your world today. Welcome to Grew Point Church Online. And by the way, my name is Clyde, if wala pa ka nakaila sa ko. Now, no one can really deny that the world has a lot of ideas about how you should view, relate, and use your money and possessions. The world has a loud voice on this subject, and quite frankly, we listen, and the world has our ears. Oftentimes, we pick up our Bibles when we want to learn about loving God, or loving one another, or serving one another, or prayer and fasting. But when it comes to money, we put down our Bibles, and we go to Rich Dad and Poor Dad, Rich Dad, Poor Dad book, or go to Dave Ramsey's show, or listen to Chinkitan as if God doesn't have a lot to say about money at all. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with listening to these people. Those resources certainly has a part to play as we steward God's money, but too often, we let them speak louder than the scriptures. But as Christians, if we truly believe that the Bible is the basis for our faith and practices, then we must study and listen to what God's Word says and use God's Word as a filter sa mga madunga na to, sa mga financial gurus nowadays. And I believe one of the main reasons why we have our ears sa world, you know, sa mga financial gurus, rather than sa word sa Ginoo, is just because of plain ignorance. We think that the Bible is so silent on this area, or we don't have time maybe to study because it's just easier to listen to the experts, right? Why exert effort, you know, studying the Word of God if you can just listen sa internet, right? Rather than doing your own, you know, study sa Word ni God. And other reason is that we don't really hear this a lot from the pulpit. Because I know when the church talks about money, a lot of people get stressed out. They feel anxious, or they feel like somebody is reaching into their pocket. Is that what you are feeling right now? But this is really an important subject that we need to talk about, because according to this study, 15% of what Jesus said relates to the topic of money and possessions. Dr. Daniel Duryani, a Presbyterian pastor, notes, he said, Jesus taught more about wealth than about any other social issue, more than marriage, politics, work, sex, or power. Another says, even more than his teaching on heaven and hell combined. And someone also did a study, and that person concluded that there are 2,350 Bible verses, you know, in the Bible talking about money. So God's word is not silent on this topic. Jesus talks about money and possessions a lot, and this is a topic that is worth our attention, and we don't have a reason to be ignorant about it if we are Christians. That's why we're beginning a new series called The Treasure Principle. Now, in this series, basically, we will learn together some perspective or principles or truths about money and possessions from the Word of God that would hopefully, as we understand these key principles, hopefully it would unlock generosity in our lives as, you know, we understand these principles from the Word of God. Now, much of the material in this series of messages is based on the book by Randy Alcorn with the same title, The Treasure Principle. So this came out years ago. Dugay na ni siya nga book, a very short book, but this book is full of treasures. So if you don't have any idea on what the Bible says about money, or if na naka idea but need lang ka og refresher, then don't miss every message in this series for you to know and be equipped on how you relate and handle your money and possessions in your life. And just a side note lang, I think this is also a timely series, especially in the season that we are in right now, diba? We all can agree that this is our favorite time of the year, December kay Christmas. We are reminded about God giving His own Son for us, a perfect picture of generosity. And daghay pud bonus karon ng mga panahon. So, nindot na ma-inform, ma-orienta, and ma-equipta how to handle our money wisely. So that's why I believe it's very timely to talk about generosity and stewardship karon nga season. And in line po sa ito ang series, we are also having a financial literacy seminar this coming Saturday. Karong Saturday na at 6 to 7:10 p.m. to be exact. So this is initiated by our very own finance team, and I'm sure daghan kayo mo ma-learn aning event. We will give you biblical foundations on finances and the practical ways on how you handle your money wisely and in a godly manner. So this is gonna be a live event via Zoom, and we will stream it on Facebook, so you can choose to be with us sa Zoom meeting room. You know, we will give you the link, or pwede ra pud kaayo nga mulantaw ka sa live sa Facebook page namo. So if wala pa ka naka-like or follow sa among Facebook page, please do. Just search Growpoint Davao and then para ma-update ka. Now, again, this coming Saturday na at 6 to 7:10 p.m. So we will make sure na on time me mag-start and mag-end. All right, so let's go back. As I've said earlier, the Bible has a lot to say about money. And even our Master Jesus has lots of teachings related to money. But why would Jesus put so much emphasis about money and possession? Now, I want to borrow Randy Alcorn. He said this: "We may try to divorce our faith and finances, but God sees it as inseparable. God knows that there is a fundamental connection between our spiritual life and how we think about and handle our money." That's what we are going to see as we study the principles in this series. And Jesus knew that too well, that our approach to money and possessions is so central to our spiritual lives. In fact, let me cite one of the passages in which Jesus addressed this topic on money. Let's look at the life of Zacchaeus. I think you know this story, the background of Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector, and tax collectors has this tendency to really take advantage of people. So when Zacchaeus was saved, he said to Jesus in Luke 19, verses 8 to 9, "And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold.' Now, Jesus affirmed Zacchaeus' conversion and said to him, and Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham.'" So we see here that Zacchaeus' new approach to money proved that he was genuinely converted. His attitude towards money was changed the moment he met Jesus. So Jesus knew that our relationship with our money and possession has a spiritual connection. And in Matthew 6, 19 to 21, and this is where we will spend most of our time studying this passage, this is where we see our Lord Jesus talks about the treasure principle. And we will discover the first treasure principle of this series sa kininga passage. Now, let me read it first. It says in verse 19, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." Verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, I have an outline here, and let's use the following outline. First, we will talk about the folly of laying up earthly treasures. That's in verse 6, chapter 6, verse 19. Then, the wisdom of laying up heavenly treasures. And the third point is a wise motto about treasures. All right, so first point, the folly of laying up treasures. Now, Jesus commanded in verse 19, he said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures in earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." So, Jesus spoke in terms that was so easily understood by his hearers. Jesus was mainly referring to a clothing, food, and money. Sa ilang time. First, you know, clothing in the Middle East were considered part of one's wealth. You know, the more clothes you have, the more wealthy you are. I think walay kaayo na change even today, right? Although uban sa to, okay lang, pero daghan kay okay. And aside from clothing, one of the bases of wealth before was kung unsa kadaghan imuhang grains, you know, grain or harvested seed of grasses such as wheat, oats, or rice and corn. In demand ni in Jesus day, you know, in Jesus time, most people eat plant-based clean diet. Kaya ang maka-afford ra sa ilhang sa meat kay ang mga dato. So people use grain, especially wheat and barley types of grains, as the basic essential food sa ilahang time. And in demand kaya ni siya, and people, you know, use grain as well to trade for silver and gold. And back then, there were no such things as banks in the ancient world. Wala mga banko. People generally kept their money and silver and gold and other precious metals in some places in their homes. So it was easy for thieves to really break in and steal a person's money. The point is, Jesus was simply telling his hearers something that was so familiar to them, and he reminded his hearers that clothing, no matter how fine they were, would eventually be eaten by the moth. No matter how much grain ilahang magather, this vermin, mga worms or insects, would eat ilang mga crops. No matter on saon nila og nila pagtago ilang mga treasures, wala gyud safe place. Nothing was completely safe for them, and they were all facing great loss at any time. Earthly stuff rots, it gets lost, it gets stolen, it gets dated. Well, I think even in our modern day, right, things really have not changed at all. Jesus' command still stands. Look at the cell phone nga imong gipalit. Karon okay pa na kayo. It might last a little longer, but in the future, maguba ra gyud na siya, or most long performance, or it can't keep up with the updates. And if naa ka makita nga bagong release nga phone with better specs, no matter unsa pa na ka nice imong phone karon and other gadgets that you have, years from now it becomes an outdated model and magpalit na pud ka og bag-o, right? And worst is, pwede na po na siya makawat, or imuhang mabilin, or imuhang maipit, okay? Kinsa man makarelate diha. Or imong mga sanina karon, you know, kung di ka mag-diet, especially karon nga pandemic nga naara permi sa balay, kung wala ka exercise, madak-an ra gyud nimo na. And bisag unsaon pa pud na nimo og amping, moabot ra ang panahon nga maran or maubara na. Mamuti na ang kwilyo sa mga polo shirt. And if mag-invest pud ka, naagi na element of risk, and usahay mas scam pa ka if dili ka careful. And other stuff that you have, pwede na mawala if masunugan, naay baha, or naay accidents. God forbid, nga dili na mahitabo sa tua. But the point Jesus is making here in this verse is that treasure in the human realm is transitory. No matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, you cannot guarantee that you will not lose your money and possessions. Slowly, it gets away value. Just, you know, it just drops. Your satisfaction from having that thing is not as great anymore, and you may be even be sick of it. And here's the sad reality that we all can agree. Wealth is just transitory. It either lives us while we live, or we live it when we die. That's just the truth, okay? Whichever comes first. You know, friends, when Jesus warns us not to store up treasures on earth, it's not just because wealth might be lost. It's because wealth will always be lost, right? Either it leaves us while we live, or we live it when we die. There are no exceptions. There's a short parable told back in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. And he told them a parable saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.'" Sana all, right? Wala mabutangan siya mga crops. "And he said, 'I will do this. And I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grains and my goods. And I will say to my soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax. Chill lang, right? Eat, drink, and be merry.' Now let's pause here for a second. When Jesus spoke out this parable, I think it was as if he was prophetically speaking to our day today. You know, in our time, most people, and that includes us Christians, are very susceptible to this lie that the objective in life is to get more and more and more until we can say to our soul that I have ample goods laid up for many years. Enjoy it for myself. Relax, drink, and be merry. Now, I'm not against saving or preparing for the future. Even Jesus himself is not against that, as we will see later on the passage. But the point is that if you live your whole life just to store up for yourself treasures on earth, or gaining so much earthly possessions and wala kang care in the things of God, you just want to pacify and satisfy yourself. How does God see you? Now, in verse 20, it says here, "But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?'" Of course, dili man nato na madala. Dili na madala kaning mga wealth when we die, right? Yes, na ta mabilinan, but wala po takabalo if paingon pa jud na sa atong gibilinan or ilugan pa na. And wala po takabalo how it will be used sa imuhang gibilinan, right? So whose will they be? He said to this man. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Church, you know what? In the eyes of the world, people who are wise, kay katong maayo gud mo budget and save and invest. But actually, in the eyes of God, dili lang enough nga maayo ra ka mo save or budget. But unsa ang purpose behind everything nimong ginabuhat? Is it because you want to satisfy and serve yourself? Or do you desire that God will bless you with plenty so that you can use these resources to further His kingdom? Let me ask you a question. Are you really rich towards God? So we have to realize that we are not blessed by God to hoard or accumulate wealth just for ourselves. We are blessed to be a blessing in the lives of others. And we are blessed to build the kingdom of God. That brings me to my second point. The wisdom of laying up heavenly treasures. In Matthew 6:20, Jesus said, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." Now, I want you to notice here, okay? Jesus has a treasure mentality. He wants us to store up treasure, you know? So, ako na lang gingon ganiha. Ako lang ni-clarify. Jesus is not condemning possessions or ownership or even enjoying what God has provided you in life. And we're going to talk about that in the second principle, okay? That God owns everything. He wants you to enjoy it and properly stewards what He has given you. Jesus is not going back here. Jesus is not forbidding Christians to save and store up resources for future needs. These things are encouraged in the Bible, but he's just telling us to stop storing them in the wrong place and start storing them up in the right place. Unsa man ang place? In the storehouse of heaven. This is the safest place for our investments. Jesus says that there are no moths, no corruption, and no thieves can really break in. When we store up treasure in heaven, it is secure and it will forever keep its value. Now, just a side note, okay? We should be clear that Jesus was not talking about some kind of work salvation in this command. Dili ang point ani nga kung mo store up ka og treasures in heaven, masecure gud imo ang kaluwasan. No, that would really deny the rest of his teaching and the teaching of the entire Bible. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And remember that this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, the message niya. So, and he was just describing here an upside-down way of life of those people who are part of his kingdom. So, what did Jesus mean? What did Jesus mean when he commanded us to lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven? Now, the Apostle Paul gives a clear explanation of the right kind of treasures in 1 Timothy 6:17-19. Verse 17, it says, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. So that's how you lay up treasures in heaven, to abound in good works, to be generous and ready to share on what God richly provides. Semuha. Now again, Dr. Daniel Duryani puts it this way. We lay up treasures in heaven by investing in God's causes and God's people. The effects of such investments last forever. We store treasures in heaven by worshiping God, growing in knowledge and grace, and growing in love for God and neighbor. Financially, we store up treasures in heaven by using money. Okay, we don't serve money, but we use money for kingdom causes by giving money to the church, to missions, and to the poor. So Dr. Duryani says, we store up treasures in heaven by investing in God's causes and God's people. It is using the money and wealth and possessions that God has entrusted to us to advance God's causes and God's people. Now, in what ways can we do this? Of course, we can do this by giving money to advance the gospel through the local churches and missions. You know, we give to the local churches so that the local churches and the missions will thrive and the kingdom of God will expand. And also, we can do this by giving money to those who are in need, to those who are poor. The point is this, we invest in God's kingdom when we invest in people. Dallas Willard says this, we use money to exercise our dominion for good. So we earn all that we can, save all that we can, and use our money. And then use our money and possessions strategically and sacrificially to serve others in love and to advance God's kingdom priorities. You know what? In the eyes of the people of the world, that is something countercultural. Kaya nga nung muhatag or mag-share man ka nga hinaguan mani muna, di ba? Enjoy it just for yourself. But that's actually a foolish and selfish living according to God. The wisest way to live is to use our resources like money to invest in God's kingdom. And surely treasures in heaven are prepared for you. Of course, our treasure of treasures will be Jesus himself. Knowing and being with him is more than enough for us, right? But it's not also bad to look forward to these treasures that Jesus promised us when we meet him again. We don't know what these treasures are, but these are eternal things that God will give to you and me. If you put your faith in Jesus, you have this promise na secure para sa imuha, where no one and nothing can really destroy them. And sometimes, if you're honest, when we give, it feels like we are losing something, right? Do you feel that way sometimes? But the perspective we see here in this passage is that when we give, you don't actually lose something, but in fact, you gained something more, a far greater treasures compared to earthly treasures. So why not we change our mindset that way? So we are not to lay up treasures on earth because they are transitory, but we are to store up treasures in heaven by being generous and ready to share. But the question is, why does it matter? Now, the last verse gives us the answer. My third point, your heart follows your treasure. Jesus said in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, why does it matter where you store your treasure? Because ultimately, it has to do with your heart. It's vitally important where you store your treasure because that's where your heart will go. You know, we will dig in deeper into this in the future as we discuss the principle, my heart always goes where I put God's money. But the implication here is this, that everyone has some treasure. Even ang mga pobre. Even the poor have it. In fact, when Jesus was delivering this message as part of his Sermon on the Mount, a message, he was talking mainly to his disciples and the great crowd. And most of them were ordinary, poor who belongs to the lower class. But the reason Christ did not, you know, exclude anyone from the matter of treasures is that treasure consists more in the affections of the heart than in what one can hold in his hands. A treasure is something which you place your affections and attention on. Your treasure is that which you value above other things. So let me tell you this, that every human being, regardless of their age, status, gender, ethnicity, or background, etc., you know, consider some things as very valuable. So the question to all of us now is, what is your treasure? Or shall I say, what is the center of your affection and attention? What do you value above all else? Now, maybe you do not have a lot of material wealth here on earth. But if your pursuit is to make more and hoard it and pile it up, then your heart is on this earth. But if your pursuit is to glorify God and serve Him in whatever ways that you can, financially speaking, you use the wealth that you have to reach out into the community, your country, and the world, then your heart is set on eternity, not just on the temporary things. You know what, church? The reality is God is more concerned with what is in your heart. You know, you might not have something in your hands right now. Okay? But I believe you have something you value the most in your heart. And when God do a surgery in your heart right now, unsa kaya iha makita ng imong gina treasure? Because let me remind you, at the end of the day, it's not about the money. Okay, it's not about the money, honestly. God doesn't need our money, but He wants our heart. Your heart is at stake. And Jesus wants your heart to be set on Him and the things of God, because that's what really matters. That's what He wants us to focus, things that has a lasting value, rather than fixating on the treasures on earth nga dili maglast. So, if you are laying up treasures on earth, your heart will be on earthly wealth that has no eternal value. But if you are laying up treasures in heaven, your heart will be set on eternity that has a lasting value. Now, this calls upon us to reconsider our priorities in life. You know, it urges us to give up that which is valuable to us, our earthly treasures, for what is most valuable in life, the treasures of heaven. You know, we do not hold tightly to money, wealth, and possessions. Instead of holding tightly to what is temporal, why not hold tightly on what is eternal? You know, whatever treasures we store up on earth will be left behind when we leave anyway. But whatever treasures we store up in heaven will be waiting for us one day when we arrive there. And that leads me to the treasure principle, the first treasure principle today, or in the series, as stated by Randy Alcorn. He said, "You cannot take it with you, but you can send it on ahead." And how do we send it ahead? By investing it in what will last. By using our money to serve Him and His purposes. As Charles Spurgeon said, "Let our desires and efforts go after heavenly things. These are not liable to any decay within themselves, nor can they be taken from us by force or fraud. Does not wisdom bid us seek such sure possessions? Out of our earthly possessions, that which is used for God is laid up in heaven. What is given to the poor and to the Lord's cause is deposited in the bank of eternity. To heaven we are going, let us send our treasures before us." Again, if you're a Christian, to heaven you are going, so send your treasures ahead of you. Yes, you're going to take your treasures with you, but you can send them on ahead. In what way? By abounding in good works and living a generous life right here, right now. Now, let me give you two applications, a message not today. First application is this. We need a new heart. We need a new heart. To desire the things of heaven, we need a transformed heart that values Jesus more than an abundance or of wealth and possessions. And it only happens when we are born again. The Bible is clear that we were born into sin and cannot love or seek after God of our own accord due to our hardened heart. We are naturally born with a sin, a hardened and corrupted heart. We desire sin continually and reject God and His ways. And what should we do to change our hearts? In Ezekiel 36, verses 26 to 27, now the context is Israel's heart had become rebellious and idolatrous and hardened against God. But the Lord in His grace promised to give them a new heart in His new covenant. And He said this, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes," excuse me, "and be careful to obey my rules." Now, I want you to notice something here. If you notice, God said, "I will give you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh. I will put my spirit within you." This clearly tells us that changing our hearts is not possible. Sa ato ang kaugalingon pagpaningkamot nga utrohon gyud nato atong kasing-kasing. But God has to do something miraculous in changing our hardened hearts to a heart that desires Him and desires to obey Him. And how did He do that? By sending His own Son to die for our sins and resurrected on the third day, so that those who believe in Jesus are given a new heart and receive the Holy Spirit to have the power to obey His statutes or commands. As we always hear, we love because He first loved us, right? How do you love God and others? It begins when you first experience this unconditional love of God through Jesus. That as it changed your hearts, you begin to love God and love others. So, you want to desire laying up treasures in heaven? It begins by being born again, to be able to see and prioritize God's kingdom. Living for God and His priorities doesn't really make sense to you unless God changed your heart to desire to live for Him and His kingdom advancement. As we look to Christ and trust in the Holy Spirit for our transformation, we will desire the things that are of His kingdom for His glory, rather than for ourselves on earth. So that's the first application. If you yourselves, you know that you don't have this new heart, ask God to change your heart. And believe in Jesus, believe in the gospel, because He promised that when we believe in Him, He will give us a new heart and the Holy Spirit. We will receive the Holy Spirit and to enable us to obey what He calls us to obey. And the second application is this, help those who are in need. Luke 12, 32 to 34, which is the parallel of the passage we just expounded, says this, "Do not be afraid." So Jesus was referring to not be afraid of giving. "Little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." Of course, God is the king and He owns everything and He can provide them what they need. Verse 33, "Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now remember, Jesus is talking to His disciples at sa kaninga time, and they are not walking around with a lot of cash. You know, they don't even have a lot of things. Maybe they were asking Jesus, you know, in their mind, well, how can we really give if we don't have, you know, something to give? Well, Jesus said, "Sell your possessions and give to the poor or the needy." That is so radical, right? If you remember what happened at the Pentecost, when the believers gathered together, they were not just praying. They were not just devoted to the word and, you know, other stuff. But here's what they actually do or what they did in Acts 2:45. "And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." You know what? The early church sold their possessions and distributed to those in need. For the early Christians, they were so radically generous that in order to provide for their fellow Christians, they were selling their possessions just to give. you know, they don't hold on tightly sa ilang mga possessions, but they chose to invest on people rather than accumulate things just for themselves. In fact, I read a story that during 250 AD under the Roman Emperor Decius, Christians were persecuted and the Roman authorities broke into a Christian church. And they went there to take treasures which they believed the church to possess. You know, the Roman soldier demanded the man named Laurentius, one of the deacons in the church, to show their treasures and possessions. Okay, mingo ng soldier, show us. And what Laurentius did was this. He pointed sa iyang fingers ang mga widows and orphans who were being fed, the sick who were being nursed, and the poor who were being supplied. And he said, "These are the treasures of the church." That's an amazing story. You know what? For them, people are more important than things. Laying up treasures in heaven by being generous was their priority than just accumulating things for themselves. And we see clearly that one of the marks of conversion is just, it's not just an appetite for the word, you know, or devotion in prayer, but there's also a change in the attitude towards money and possession. And you know what? That's what we desire. That's what we desire to see in us as a church, individually and collectively, that we don't really cling on to our material wealth, but we invest our money on people, especially those who are in need. This doesn't mean that you sell all your possessions na magpakapubre na lang ka to gain superior spiritual position. You know, na ay mga tao ngayon na ang thinking, no. Dili ni ang ginapromote ani na magpakapubre ka, okay? It just means that you be generous to those who are in need if you are able. And if it takes you to sacrificially sell something, maybe what you have for the sake of those who are in need, then do it. Or maybe you were supposed to buy this thing, but it's not really something that you need and you are moved by the Spirit of God to give that money to those who are in need, then do it. You know what? I'm just blessed that we have people in the church who are really generous. That when a brother or a sister is nanginahanglan or na emergency, na adayon willing nga muhatag. I know that it's a sacrificial giving on your part and you could have used that money for something else, but you chose to give sa mga nanginahanglan. And surely, as Jesus promised, greater treasures are prepared for you. Now, my encouragement for you, brothers and sisters, is this. Work hard. Work hard. Make a living. And whatever God has given you as a result, same old hard work, be ready to share. Although we might not see dayon, you know, kaning immediate nga reward on earth for helping those who are in need, like immediate dayon makita nato, it might take a while or a long time, you know, watakabaluin will Jesus comes again, but we know that we are advancing the heavenly kingdom and giving God the glory, which is of more worth and far better than having an abundance of treasures on earth. So again, church, you cannot really take it with you. You cannot take your earthly treasures with you, but you can set it on ahead by being generous, being ready to share, invest on people, invest on God's kingdom, and eternal and lasting treasures are prepared for you in heaven. So two things, ask God to give you a new heart if you know that you are not a Christian, to really desire for Him and His kingdom. And second application is help those who are in need. Look around you. Be aware of those people who are in need and initiate to give and share what you have. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the salvation in Jesus, that this promise of treasure is available to us in Christ. Thank you that we can have something to anticipate and that the way we live our lives today, especially in our attitude towards money and possession, really matters. I don't know how this message lodged into our hearts. For some, this may be a new truth, but for others, it may be a radical truth sa ilaha. But I pray that may we take your word and let it change our life today. We admit that it's really easy to fall into the trap of storing up the treasures here on earth. It's easy to fall into temptation of finding value, significance, security in the things on earth. But reminds us, Lord, that these things are just temporary. They won't really last. And instead, may we set our eyes on eternity, using the money and possession we have here on earth to use it for your glory and the common good, knowing that in doing this, treasures are laid up for us in heaven. Enable us this week by the power of your Spirit to live for your kingdom and not for ourselves, by being generous and ready to share. I pray that all throughout this series, this sermon series, that may we realize that there could be something more to life than just having everything. In Jesus' name, amen. So thank you so much, church, for staying till the end. Now, next week is our Christmas party celebrations at church. So we will have a serious break. Bago lang gani, nagsugod. Mag-break na dayon. But actually, our theme is still related to our series. It's called Treasuring Christ Together. So if available, and hope, being na available jud ka, we hope to see you sa among celebration next Sunday at 9 a.m. Dili 9:30 ha, 9 a.m. We will have our regular worship service and we prepared a program after, so I hope you will come. I hope mapil jud ka. So have a generous life this week and God bless you.